Blog Talk Radio.
It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too hard to live it, but I'm afraid to die. I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. I go to the movie and I go downtown. Somebody keep telling me don't hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. Then I go to my brother. Say, brother, help me please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. Lord, there have been times that I thought I could last for long. But I know a change gon' come. Oh, yes it
somebody keep telling me don't hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. Then I go to my brother and I say, brother, help me please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. Lord, there have been times that I thought I could last for long, but now I think I'm able to carry on. It's been a long time coming, but I know
very wonderful. I am I want to say thank you for tuning into the program today. Black Talk Radio Network, and this is what is called the Cosmic Philosopher. And further, I am Tim Aldred. Born Jamaican in the 40s. What I am really thinking about right now is the solar world. The solar system is not about to pass away. Based upon all that I have come to know, our world, as far as the zodiacal calendar is concerned, been around for billions of years, and human civilization just began 450,000 years ago. Not many people, and I am included in people, didn't know when civilization began. And I'll speak for my thinking. I thought that civilization began when the Big Bang started. That's what my awareness tells me from my surrounding. I didn't hear anything that was saying anything to make me think otherwise. Listen. So what is, when we read in the Bible about the world to come, and I think St. Matthew 24, it could be St. Matthew 24 that speaks, where it says Jesus speak of the world that will pass away. And that affect my my thought system as to the pending situation of the world. Now I understand that the Bible has nothing to do with the world beginning or end. Now, that is a very sad thing to say in a certain context. In the context when we don't know any better, and that's what we are influenced by. For people who want to perceive is known at the best is that history is what tells us about the past, not the Bible. History begins with civilization 450,000 years ago. And I do not have any hope in somebody finding out something different, because I am trusting in certified record sources or source, which tells us of what happened in the past. And we are here today to know about the past. Some people are thinking that what they are thinking on their own, they think that is the revelation of God. So what do they do with the Bible? What people believe to be the way of God is what they are told by the church. And the only thing that they know otherwise is their dream and their vision, and they rest upon that. But neither their vision or dreams or the Bible ain't telling you the truth about the world existence, the planetaries, or any individual planet. It's only a matter of history that we will learn from people ahead of us. And one specific reason why our learning come from the BC era and not AD Anno Domini is because something happened that causes civilization. And because we are so retarded then, we African people, human being, we've had that moment that they say in the Bible, the fall of man, which is a whole bunch of lies that surrounding any little truth that may exist in the Bible. So clearly, I can tell you that we don't value anything as human beings. If white people, they value something, that's up to them. But white people, as we know, where they come from in history, like I say again, if you are not into history, I am not giving any attention to anything you say. History is a record of the past. And if I cannot respect history when it is a transcendence of what happened in the past and are recorded, that's all we have to know. Anything that makes sense in the past, we are sitting today, are living today. That's the only way we are going to know anything. All right. Well, civilization, as we know it today, did not exist at a certain time in life. While the earth and the universe was in motion before we come along. But what was going along was night and day. The planet, they moving. Right? The equinox and so forth, and those motion of Earth and the sun and other planets. So what I'm saying is, pertaining to the popular idea in our world, where the Bible has, over the past, say, 2,000 years, used to brainwash the civilized people. All right. Well, how did we come to be brainwashed? Well, I got to look over to the Bible, where it talks about Satan cast down from heaven and a lot of things went wrong. Well, they wrote those things in the Bible so that we wouldn't get to know the truth about what happened. So that's the substitute that the white people wrote in the Bible. And they fully know that our generation from 300,000 years on, we wouldn't know anything. So if you pay attention to the African people, and you read and you know that African human people their creation is something that is very in reach of us reading and understand it, depending on how you develop and what you get to know, you probably don't have much knowledge about the history and all that. But things happen long before the Bible was written, long before, let's say, long before we left Africa, 100,000 years ago. And remember, we were created 200,000 years ago. So when we were leaving Africa to come to the Western world, we were 100,000 years old in the making. Since we were created, that is the only fact I have read and able to say I have clearance that it is true based on the relevance of everything else around it. You know, that is the only thing that is standing up as true. like an obelisk. Chronologically, nothing else don't exist. So I am saying the Bible is not a certified book. Nobody has any right to use the Bible as an authority or a divine substance. Now, Nagasa, and somebody can only talk in the bushes and talk where there is no requirement for is precedence. If you are held to precedence of what happened in the beginning, then you would have to say what history says. But if you join church and all kind of different institutions where people talk whatever they feel like, well, it's not going to work. No, it is not going to work. And you will have to get to find out in the way or from the source history tells us. As you can see, we are in a very confused world. The African people, like I was saying, if we read the history, we will find out that we are a people created with two types of blood. And that is the 250,000 years ago species that came into Africa. That's one blood. One of the blood that was mixed to create us. Hybrid African ethnic people. That's one that is called Wise Sapien. Our species, Chinese and all the rest of what we know as hybrid and ethnic people. Different shade of skin color. However, we are created by the same Elohim gods. And there is the reason why we were created, but not what the Bible is telling you. And that's where the problem is at. We are grown up into church that's been preaching to us something completely different from what history says. And why we can be protected when we learn that the Bible is not a certified book, though we are taught that. Well, they didn't tell us verbatim that the Bible is a certified book, but it is put into us by assumption that the Bible is the holiest and the book of origin and everything. No gospel. Not true. And because nothing else wasn't taught to us, we are not capable of knowing that something else exists. No. Just like you have the wrong parent and you were taught that the wrong parent or your blood parent. So you don't have anybody else to respect as your parents when it comes to human beings. All right. So the other blood that makes us up is the blood of the gods. And why do we have blood of the gods that mix to make hybrid people out of us or out of the blood? It is because we are not created by a Bible God in a Garden of Eden. But the story is from history that give an account of the gods that came to earth. Everything begins on earth, civilized, when the gods came to earth. So we know little bit of the truth when we read the Bible. But you don't go too far before your mind is contaminated with the little piece of truth that you learn in the Bible. So that when you get to certain places in the Bible, you are totally contaminated. Your mind is contaminated that you won't be able to spot any problem with what you read. So you just believe them and think everything is all right. All right? So from there on, growing up, the channel that the white people use is the church. And only the white people channel information we get to acquaint with. And, you know, you can have something deep inside of you that probably don't agree with certain things, but you need complete truth to get your mind function properly. So some people probably may come to a good sense of tracking, reading, and finding out things, and find out words are able to illuminate some things to make you know something different from what you're reading there. That can happen, but it doesn't happen to a lot of people. Because I can tell you, a good 40 or so years, I was reading the Bible and my mind did not get activated to read and see something different. I was reading on fourth grade level. That is one of the problems. And therefore, I was under the power of believing what I read in the Bible. Right? So if you talk about now, when they're reading the Bible and talk about Jesus is coming back and all those kind of stuff, it's unfortunate that we have to face with that because it's just not true. You know, I mean, that's just unfortunate for us to be under these type of situations. Because now you're out there and you're listening to me talking and the amount of things that they teach us in the church, one of the things that they do and work overtime at is teaching us about false prophets, false teachers. So the Bible and the church is always in a position that is protected, the lies. The lies that they tell is protected in the church by believers, whether you are just a layperson or you are one of those who are are charged with protecting the truth in the Bible. So the believers are nurtured every day to make sure you don't listen to false prophets. They even go as far as don't like when you visit another church. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Have mercy on us. You don't see anybody leaving the church because they find out that the church is not real. No. That's hard to decision to come to, because you are in love with those epistles and the gospels. You see what I mean? How you going to get your mind out of that and to make you start reading and see something different? It's difficult for that to happen because you grow up in the church to respect the Bible as the word of God. And since you don't know otherwise, that's the only thing that's going to keep your mind at ease when you read that and what it says. And you feed on it all the days of your life. Have faith, have hope, and you know, and look to the Lord, right? Pay your tithes, give your offering, and all them kind of things. You know, and maybe once a month they have communion service, and you wash the saints' feet. You know, and often prime meeting and Bible studies and stuff like that. But what I'm trying to say to you, we never knew what we are reading in the Bible is doubtful. We didn't know about doubting the Bible. You know, because we are serious about keeping our belief steadfast into the truth that comes from the Bible. There is no other truth but the Bible. And since it is easy to generate strong sincerity, we develop that and bond with the word of the Bible. It's not easy for us to come to a point where we start seeing something else. That's very, very seldom, if you can find a few people. So it is that it's very hard to find our way through a muddy and a distorted world and people who think all kind of diverse things that you don't find the truth there. You don't find the truth there. And there are too many people who really settled and grounded in such a way that they find their peace in the church. Not unless you're easily convinced by words. If you're easily convinced by, well, first of all, you've got to get to a place in your mental experience where you begin to respect the words that you're reading, so that when you take up Genesis 1:1 and begin to read it, words must begin to tell you something different from growing up in church. Because lies are in Genesis 1, 2, and 3. You should pick them up when you start to read and read the words that's in the Bible. You should find lies where, you know, somebody was telling me when in, it's a lady, in her childhood, she said, when they went to Sunday school, you know, like talking about, they were like maybe 9, 10, 11 years of age, like, that when they went to church, there are some things that they say from the Bible that at another time, when they are being taught things in the Bible, they remember that they say God says certain things. And for example, this person was telling me, when they teach you that God know all things, and they come back next time and say things differently, that, like, for example, if you know, since you know, when you think that God knows all things, then it means God knows all things, he'll make everything go well for you, because you're praying to him to keep you from falling and from things hurting you and stuff like that. Since God knows everything ahead of time, they are teaching you things that is not in line, not coherent, when they are telling you some things about God that does not work with a God who knows all things. How about that? Well, that amazes me. And I tell this person that amazed me, because when I was young, I didn't think that kind of way. You see what I mean? So, our life is deeper a lot than we know. It's deeper because now children are growing up and thinking ahead like that. They know when something is out of line. Like, God know all things. So, oh, God know all things, and so many things are happening, and that should not be there, because God should take care of those things. What happened? Now, the Bible is full of maggots when it comes to that. But I can confess that it is not likely for a lot of Christian believing people to recognize those lies. See? And so it is when we read several things in the Bible and never pay no attention to it, because God foreordain all things before he create the world and things like that. So everything in the world, without any stipulation, there is nothing in the world that is happening that God didn't know about. before he created it, because that's what he said in the Bible concerning God and his son Jesus. They are perfect. And whatever we see going on in the world, God and Jesus Christ agree upon it that it should be in the world. So when we today are taught to trust in God and to believe in God and that God is going to take care of us, we find out nothing don't go like that, because all the things that are happening to us and stuff, you know, if God knew all things, he would take them out of the way. All right. Now, the contradictions and lies are sitting in the Bible for waiting for us to discover them. Because if it is saying that God, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, there's a contradiction there. Are you seeing it? The one that I am talking right now? Now, came first. You know, what came first? Is it that God came first, knowing all things, then created us? That's the way it works, right? So God knows all things. Why Adam and Eve have to go through those things as though, you know, they were put to go through them on their own long before God has a chance to look about them? How about that? So we are seeing these type of things that when your brain has to deal with right and wrong, you're confused, because the Bible is one thing you are supposed to believe and trust in. These old things, like, for example, you're saying to me that Satan was cast down from heaven, the heaven that were not created before God created all things. These things did not exist, because it is God and Jesus created them before anything else. Before a world developed, he fixed the world how it's supposed to be. So how is it now war is being fought in heaven? The war did not come first. The planet came first. And whatever is supposed to happen came first. First, for God even begin to make the things in the world. So how come now we are in a world where God create from scratch the actual planet and the fullness in the planet? And they are preaching to us these contradictions. I mean, every time they speak in about God, is they are speaking off those understanding that God make everything on where we are living and the conditions that we face. God ordained them. There's nothing else. Nobody can come and tell you nothing, you know, come behind you and start talking nonsense. A perfect God has to be a perfect God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Where did that come from? How could that exist with a perfect God? Sure, the Son is, the sun is shining. And when the earth not revolve, but the world yes, revolve around for 24 hours, then the things that God creates will remain perfect, right? And as you can see, perfection is like 24 hours that the earth revolve around. 24 hours. And that happened ever since you and I born. And the earth is doing the same thing for every day that we live. Right? Yes. This is what they teach us in church. Did anything ever whisper in your ear that they are lies? Because there wouldn't be any reason, no cause, that God and Jesus, the perfect creators, created heaven and earth, and they make Adam and Eve. Now, the both of them are perfect, you know, and they are making these two creatures. Remember, there were not any human before. The both of them created mankind. Since as God know all things and fortified the things that are needed and eliminate what is not needed, we do not expect to read anything about a God failure to do anything. God forget to fix this or fix that. Or if you want to take it there, God work fail. And then he never come to fix it. You know what I mean? Like, why are you sick? Didn't God know that you would be sick? Yeah. So, why then are you sick? And you're praying to God all the time and he's not answering you nothing. This happens so often during a believer's life. And yet still, you go and you praise the Lord, read the Bible, and give thanks to God and everything like that. And you never one time think that. But the Bible have a lot of promises of God. And, you know, I'm suffering and suffering all the time. And, you know, it's like the devil, you know, and all kind of things. You don't have a result where you can say God is perfect. But yet still, you're lying. Saying God is perfect when you are not experiencing any perfect God in your life. Coming from because you fail to obey God. No, I know that. You are living the way you think you should live according to some part of the Bible. So why is it that there are so many things going on, not just with you, but the world around you. People, whole bunch of people, they're so confused, and they, you know, it's like they don't have any intercessor to talk between God and them. But God did promise that he would fashion everything that is good. You know, because why a Bible is given to us to try and save us? For what? Save us from what? Because God did say we would be imperfect? No. Now, God, the way the Bible is constructed is that God didn't say nothing about he was perfect. Because if he's perfect, he took control to to create everything civilized, we wouldn't have no problem. We wouldn't have no problem. Some of them might say, well, anyway, but you are unreasonable. What do I unreasonable with? If you are put to do something and you are given everything to do it right, so what is any problem with you and anything not going right? And God assure that what he does is made perfect. And you're not dealing with no perfection, but you are now expecting perfection from God. Not from God or the Bible. You see, and the Bible is put to us like it is a book that a people should trust and obey. But it would be a book to trust and obey if we find out that God has limits. And God surely is not perfect, you know, and we would go along with what we are supposed to do. But in this case, it doesn't matter what you do. Those things are written in the Bible and on the merit that God is true and God is honest and God don't lie. No, you see all kind of things walking backward in the Bible. God can never be a perfect God. Neither is he going to avoid the trials in your life. Now, I'm going to say, when the Bible story says that God and Jesus make all things before they actually make the heaven and the earth. And it drives my mind, is driving me now back to, but you mean to say to me, you're telling me God make all things from with his perfect brain. And then you write in Revelation that there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angel fought. Now, I'm going to ask you, where is God in all of that? Where is God in all of that? Because long before they created the heavens and the earth, the two, father and son, homosexual creation are creators. It is right for me to say that. I think I've said enough to justify me calling Jesus and God a two sodomites. Right? Because you can't be telling me that God knew all things and then Michael and his angel fight in heaven. A God and Jesus make that, you know. Right? Now, if you can find another way to reason this, then I listen to it. But looking at what comes first and at what comes second, I don't see it any other way. I see that God and Jesus Christ came first as the holy and unblemished creatures. And when they take credit for making all things exactly the way they want them, perfect. And now I'm going to say, but wait a minute, all these bad things are happening and God create them, right? The war in heaven, he predestined that. He makes sure it would happen. And you'd like to tell me that's not the way to look at it. Which way am I supposed to look at it? There are a whole lot of these things in the Bible. And, you know, it is not right for us to excuse these lies. Because you're depending on it. You see what I mean? And we are suffering because of it. So, you can't tell me now why. The bad things are happening. Jesus was tempted of the devil. Where is that? Matthew, the book of Matthew 4, maybe. Jesus was tempted of the devil. God set that up to him, and Jesus set that for that to happen to. Begin to walk through the Bible, and you will find out that you have, worse than a headache, where the Bible is backfiring on itself, because you will be in great distress when you now begin to read a lot of these things in the Bible that you cannot accept that God and Jesus arranged that those things should be happening in life. You'd have to be out of your mind. You see, why is Jesus going to trial with the devil? Because whose job is to just come and give his life a sacrifice? You know what I mean? I mean, that's what he come to do. But then he has to go through a trial. The devil is going to take him up on a high pinnacle and tempt him. Now, why did they, God and Christ, why did they ordain those kind of things? Did God understand exactly what he was doing? So, but you have straight out raw lies in the Bible by God. In the first thing of Genesis 1, he tells you how God say he look at everything that he made and say it was good, including Adam and Eve. Right? He make them perfect. And then the perfect two people wind up to, there's absolutely no perfection in what you're reading, because if indeed God and Jesus created Adam and Eve perfect, there's no way any serpent could come in and cause them to go wrong. You know, you're not talking about something that fallible human being has done. That's not what you're talking about. You're not talking about it relates to people in the world after the world was, many thousand years old and people encounter and learn all kinds of different things. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the God and Jesus, who are supposed to be perfect, make these two people perfect. Right? And all these things about don't eat of the fruit, in the middle of the garden, but eat those that are around it. Those kind of stuff. Why? A tree of life they shouldn't eat. Why? Why did he create these two people? To work and to have peace and tranquility, right? Yeah. But now, God said that they were perfect. And it's like short space of time after that, a serpent walking up out of nowhere. They say, oh, God created that serpent. Again, God are creating all of these things that we are talking about. Why are we supposed to live our lives and behaving like we don't have good sense at all? Is that what we're supposed to do? Since we know what the truth is, why are we still pretending that those problems don't exist in the Bible? Where God is saying he create them good. But then a talking serpent is going to come in. Now, we are so retarded that we will not think that something was wrong. And since nobody else was around, it had to be these hominid white people around that was causing problems. So, a whole bunch of stuff in the Bible, like wise men see a star and follow the star. For what? For what? And it doesn't, over the thousands of years, our people have not been able to reason outside of the box. Everything is within the range of knowing, and we can't come to knowing. So something is wrong. Now, were we like that the first 100,000 years in Africa? Were we? But in the Bible, where in Genesis, about God make Adam and Eve, and the rest of what is said, that mankind became many in the world. How about that? All these things that God supposed to know and nobody should have any kind of problem with them, there is problem. And then so much thing couldn't go wrong. You see what I mean? You don't get so many things go wrong like that. Not from God. Not even from some human beings. Right? It's time that anybody who has, sufficiently sense of reason should be able to say, hey, stop here. I'm going to further with this. Because this Bible takes the privilege to spit out a whole bunch of lies that cannot be corrected, and for especially the African ethnic indigenous people. They turn fool. Because they don't observe nothing in the Bible as lies. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And even when no prophecy is fulfilled, they say it's fulfilled. And I try out with a few of my friends by when I come to realize that something is wrong, not in one part of the Bible, but all over it. where I could now see for myself that something is wrong here. When I ask them, they shun the question. Yes, they do. They shun the question because you know what? They will never be able to tell you why God was lying about the serpent, about what the serpent says. You just, those things that Jesus agreed with his Father he would do and come and die for the sins of the people as a sacrifice to him, God. Now, how about that? How about that? I mean, why couldn't Jesus just come and do regular things as expected and then give up himself to die? Why Jesus primarily did not want to die when he and his Father agree in the before the foundation of the world? The both of them agree that these people would sin and he was going to come and die for their sin. Can't you see that? Can you see that? If you can't see that, well, you're not really seeing to really help out with the problem here. I am saying and pointing out to you is that throughout the New Testament, there's a lot of allusions to Jesus making agreements with his Father before they make heaven and earth, before they make Adam and Eve. They made agreement for Jesus to come and die for the sins of Adam's fallen race. Now, I am saying, if that is true, why there was a problem for Jesus to come and do it? Why is it that from a child I am hearing the scripture in the New Testament? It tells that Jesus' first ambition was to not die for nobody's sin. Hello, hello. Why Jesus' first desire, after all those years passed away since before the world began, you imagine something of this kind to be in the Bible, and you have us behaving like nothing gone wrong? But my friend, we cannot get away from what is true and from that which is false. It is totally something that has no reason to doubt or to blame, because nobody was there but God and Jesus when they were making those agreements before the world, before they make the heaven and the earth. Nobody wasn't there, and there was no friction or, you know, lopsided of judgment between the two of them. Now they agree upon everything. Yeah, there's nothing between the two experts here when it comes to perfection. But now we are tracing and find out there is no such thing as truth in the Bible pertaining to a God who is, you know, he begot a son, and before they created anything in the universe, you know, they were going to create the planets, and they're going to create, you know, two people on planet Earth. I mean, there is nothing about that hard to understand, and that in the fullness of time, it will just happen. You know what I mean? It will just happen. This doesn't just happen. And what are your beliefs in what I'm saying? Because if you give your heart to the Lord, He's going to protect you from that point on. And then you find out it's not working. And then you begin to blame yourself and all that. Listen, why should you blame yourself for anything when you give yourself to the Lord and all you're trying to do is live the best way you can? Why can't you think that something else is wrong? Something else really wrong. You know what I mean? Because it don't happen one place. It will happen in a whole lot of places in the Bible where you're reading twisted stuff, and you'd rather tell me something wrong with me or my mind is natural and I cannot understand things in the Bible. That's what you prefer to tell me. But once you go to school and you learn to read, and that's where you get your sense of what is fact from what is fallacy, right? And you'd like to tell me that Jesus came to earth through, to an angel, right? And Jesus was put into Mary's womb by a miracle, right? Yeah. Now, God is doing all of this because He and His Son agree. Correct? Yeah. In eons of years gone by, God is doing all these great things to make His perfect humans, but they fell, they fall into sin, right? Fall of man. Now, here come the Redeemer, Jesus, and the first thing He wants to do is not to die. He wants His Father to grant Him favor. Let they stay in their sin. Man, why do I have to go and die for them? Now, you think a faithful son to his father up in heaven would do something like that? Eh? Ah, my gosh. Well, I didn't think that way when I was young and a child. But now it is clear. White people are talking about Jesus and thank you, Jesus, and stuff like that. Because you know what? They have reason to do that. White people, they have reason to do that, right? Now, we are finding out a lot of things. Yeah. Finding out a lot of things. Because that Jesus there, we don't see nothing of that Jesus in the let's say, the Old Testament. They just fix it up and put some, like, say, Messiah or something like that. But we don't see anything about no Jesus. We only assume that what they say about Messiah, Jesus, right? It's all something just catch up. It's not something that should be there written out loud and clear. That's not where we are with this, right? So we are staggering in judgment, and we're not making any sense, right? All right. But look at what we are missing, and why should we continue missing? Should be a forthcoming and without any flaw. This son Jesus came and just decided, say, look, you know what? Time come for me to die, but you know what? Me no want to be dead. That's not the reaction of a son of God. You know what I mean? And then St. Matthew 26, right? What did Jesus do? He pulled off a very, very, what I would say, unexpected move. One, prevent him from dying on the cross. That was easy for him to tell his father eons ago that he would come and die. It was the agreement that, and it's all over the New Testament. Why so much of it is in the New Testament and not in the Old Testament? And the prophecy of Isaiah 9, 6 and 7 verse, still not fulfilled. It is showing that Jesus went up in a hill and evaded the people who wanted to make him a king, because the people knew that they are going to have a king. Jesus, who is going to be the king, decided that he don't want to do it anymore. What would happen if God the Father did not tell him, well, you can't break this covenant, you have to do it? What if he didn't say that? What would happen to us that the Bible said born in sin? Now, can you see anything wrong with that? Hello? You know that ship is sink and gone, long time rotten, water. Really, because what we are depending on in the Bible here, not dependable. Jesus didn't want to die. Jesus left like 9 of his disciples up front. He took like about 3 of them. After that, a little further distance away, and he went alone to go and pray. Now, why? Why is Jesus going to hide and pray that he don't want to die? These are not forgivable errors. You don't tell me that in your right mind, don't see nothing wrong with that, because we're talking about a perfect God and his son. Now, you don't get any one of them mess up on things like that. You're talking about if it is so important to die on the cross for these people who lost their way, why wouldn't Jesus come with every fervor of goodwill die for their sin? Why? Why Jesus didn't want to die for their sin? And I've never heard anybody raise that as an argument. Why is it nobody, I've never heard anybody at all raise an argument about that? No. And there are other places in the Bible where, let's say in the Old Testament. The Old Testament has some portion which has nothing to do with Christianity, and Christianity will not read those part of the Old Testament. All right. Now, what happened to the Isaiah 6 and 7 prophecy now, where the Messiah, Jesus, would come and he would... the Messiah would fulfill the prophecy. But the prophecy does not entail he dying on a cross. You ever read that prophecy? No. That's one of the most profound writings in the Old Testament about the Messiah Jesus fulfilling the scripture of Isaiah. The people who write in the New Testament write all kind of evil things instead of the nice thing that Jesus would do by sacrificing himself. That sacrifice never took place. And why are so many people, like African people, are going to church, Christian church, and they never ask a question about anything that we know now are flagrant lies in the Bible? African people walk their way and just, you know, curve around those things that doesn't make any sense. But yet still, African people still find it amazing, and God and Jesus is great. None of it is there. None of it is there. You see, and the white people manage to get African people. They get them to be slaves. They do all kinds of things with them. And here, we don't have a mediator between the gods and mankind. What's this? All right. There is some place in the book of Isaiah here. For example, how would you interpret this scripture? Isaiah 42. Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. And by the way, who are Gentiles? White people. African people, they call Jews and stuff like that. Now, you think about these things that I'm reading. You don't hear Christianity read these things. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment into truth. I am reading a scripture like this long before I realized that the Bible was lying. And I marked him up all over All right. I still find this scripture. I look at it differently from when I used to just read them and find them, you know, okay, sounds good. Shall not feel nor discourage till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. See, because remember now, we have law here, but we don't have no execution of kingship government now, okay? So something will have to happen to restore kingship law back to the world, because AD Anno Domini allow white people to do all kind of a sodomite criminal stuff here and there, and nobody's stopping them because they have this AD Anno Domini. But something is going to happen in our time right here, okay? So here, there is something in this scripture that I have held to be of significance, something that is yet to be seen. Okay. He shall not fail nor discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. Thus saith the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that stretcheth them out, he that spread forth the earth, and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, open the blind eyes, to bring out from prisoners, to bring the blind, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of prison houses, out of prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them.
Yes. He says, sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise from the end of the world. No, from the end of the world, of the earth. You that go down to the sea, all that is therein. The islands and the inhabitants thereof, let the wilderness and the cities thereof lift up their voice, the villages that Kedar does inhabit. Let the inhabitants of the rock sing. Let them shout for, let them shout from the top of the mountain. Let them give glory unto the Lord and declare his praise in the islands. The Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry, yes, roar. He shall prevail against his enemies. I have long time holden my peace. I have been still and refrained myself. Now will I cry like a travailing woman. I will destroy and devour at once. Understand that? I will make waste mountains and hills. Mean there will be no habitation there, huh? And dry up all their herbs. And I will make the rivers islands. And I will dry up the pools. And I will bring the blind by the way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them. They shall be turned back. They shall be greatly ashamed that trust in the graven images, that say to the molten images, you are our gods. Hear you deaf, and look you blind, that you may see. Who is blind but my servant of or deaf as my messenger that I sent. Who is blind as he that is perfect and blind as the Lord's servant? Seen many things, but thou observest not. Open thy ears, but he heareth not. The Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law and make it honorable. Kingship law. But this is a people robbed and spoiled. They are all of them snared in holes, and they are hid in prison houses. They are for a prey, and none believe it for a spoil, and none say it restore. Who among you will give ear to this? Who will hearken and hear for the time to come? Who gave Jacob for a spoil and Israel to the robbers? Did not the Lord, he against whom we have sinned? For they would not walk in his ways, neither were they obedient unto his law. Therefore, he hath poured upon him the fury of his anger, and the strength of battle, and it hath set him on fire round about. Yet he knew not, and it burned him, yet he laid it not to heart. Yes. Serious things. Serious thing we take for granted here. Serious stuff. Yeah, when we think it not. Then I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for naught and in vain. Yet surely my judgment is with the Lord, and my work with my God. And he said, a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribe of Jacob and to restore the presence of Israel. It's a light thing for you to do. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, and thou, what, that thou mayest be my servant unto the end of the earth. Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, and his Holy One. They would say that is Jesus, you know, but no Jesus ever appear anywhere in the world. So he said, thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to him whom men despiseth, to him whom the nation abhorreth, to a servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, princes also shall worship because of the Lord. That is faithful and the Holy One of Israel. And he shall choose thee. Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee, and I will preserve thee and give you for a covenant of the people, to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritage. Yes. That thou mayest say to the prisoners, go forth, to them that are in darkness, show thyself. They shall feed in the ways, and their tears shall be in all high places. They shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heart, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them. For he that hath mercy on them shall lead them, even by the springs of water, even by the springs of water shall guide them, and I will make all my mountains a way, and my highways shall be exalted. Behold, these shall come from far, And lo, these from the north and from the west, and these from the land of Sinim. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people and will have mercy upon his afflicted. But Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Can a woman forget her suckling child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yes, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls continually before me. Thy children shall make haste, thy destroyers, and they that made thee waste shall go forth of thee. Lift up thine eyes round about, and behold, all these gather themselves together, and come to you. As I live, saith the Lord, thou shalt surely clothe thee with them all as with an ornament, and bind them on thee, as a bride goeth for thy waste and thy desolate places and the land of thy destruction shall even now be too narrow by reason of the inhabitants, and they that swallowed thee up shall be far away. The children which thou shalt have after thou art lost the other, shall say again in thine ears, the place is too straight for me. Give place to me that I may dwell. Then shalt thou say in thine heart, who begot
who art begot, who art begotten me these, seeing I have lost my children and am desolate, a captive, and removing to the and beginning and removing to and fro, and who art brought up these? Behold, I was left alone. These, where had they been? Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will lift up thine hand to the Gentiles and lift up standard to the people, and they shall bring thy sons into their arms, and thy daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders. And kings shall be thy nursing fathers, and their queens thy nursing mothers. They shall bow down to thee with their face towards the earth and lick up the dust of thy feet, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord, for they shall not be ashamed that wait for me. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered? But thus saith the Lord, even the captive of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. For I will contend with him that contend with you, and I will save thy children, and I feed. I will feed them that oppress thee with their own flesh, and I will feed them that oppress thee with their own flesh. They shall be drunken with their own blood. As with sweet wine, and all flesh shall know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. All right. Okay, so, you know, when I read a certain portion of what I'm reading brings me a stronger hope, a stronger feeling that, you know, from the relevance that affects me as I read them. Looking at the situation around me today and what is going on, there are, you know, the capturer, these hominid primates who go about and take their prey and do a lot of things that it's clearly shown that the indigenous people are lost, really. I mean, there's hardly any that can tell you anything that you can cheer for, you know, the spoken truth that they have. Those of us that think that we are praising God and stuff like that, where is that God? You have the Bible there, and it's telling all kind of lies, and you are believing those lies. So, you know, when we think that we are standing, we fell a long time ago, and we think that we are okay. You're not okay until you're reading and you know what you're reading. That's where you make a choice of what is true. All right. I want to thank you for tuning in, and I wish I read a little faster and stuff like that, but my whole head is just giving me this much that I can use, and I have to do whatever I can do and hope that it may be feeding into someone something with strong potential for them to go on and to see more things and to guide themselves into the way that makes them happy and hopeful and that keeps them in the way that they should be, and that a stronger blessing will come to them that they will have to say, "Bless the Lord." And at some point, my friend, we will be blessed if we keep ourselves yearning and going after little packages of knowledge that will keep us focused on that day when that day comes. We will not be sorry, but be joyful and thank the gods to keep us over the years from being destroyed. All right. And so what I had in mind all along was certain things about our society. My inner eye is seeing a lot more, you know, more clarity of the dilemma of our humanity. Who we were and what we are today, it is very clear that we are gone, retarded, badly, right? And I can only submit myself to find greater strength because as the day goes by, it will either become more hopeful for us to put our, you know, our hanker down and know how to trust in the Lord and let things be the way the gods want them. And because it's easy to go and get washed away into the whole bunch of foolishness that is going on around us. And we want to be settled where we are grounded in our thoughts, faith, in our knowledge. All right. So I do notice that it's very bad. You know, we have drifted too far away, whereas we are detached from what is truth, and we don't know how to move from there. So the more I see that, is the more I sense that I am to anchor down. Anchor down. And be affected by the good things that I know. You see, because once you're dead and gone, that's it. When you're alive and there is something there to, you know, to like greener grass to heat and to build up yourself, that's time, you know, to really anchor down, because that's what where the blessing is. Is not to be drifting away, but to like anchor down. All right? Now, what we have here, I've been telling people, stop going to church. Don't go back to church. Into your heart and in your spirit. It's not in church. It's not in the Bible. And in the context in which New Testament telling you all kind of thing about Jesus. Ain't no Jesus there. No, I was reading a while ago from the Old Testament. In and from the book of Isaiah, because there are a lot of what is in the Old Testament. These white people have really done a lot of interference with what is true. But there are some things there, when you read them, you can see something in them that it's not a Christian talk you're reading. You see what I mean? When you get into that context of what you're reading, you'll find out that, you know, evil have tried to destroy us. But you can see clearly that the intangible things of civilization is still with us. And what I'm reading, that there is going to be a removal of these white people. And the remnant of us left alive and stuff like that. We are going to be blessed if we hold on to the old bunch of nonsense that's going on and cling to what is right. Don't go to church. Don't vote for these white people government. AD Anadamani is only a defilement and something that drop us off down in the ditches. Imagine that we are reverencing a law that these homosexual create and say it's law of the land, which no, it cannot be. They must go back to Europe.
That's where they must go. That's their place. And they don't know what is going to suddenly crack them up is something that they will never be able to fix. So now, when they decided that they're going to stay and mess us up as much as they can, well, for me, it's time to develop and walk stronger and stronger. And then the good Lord will take over and do what they have to do. So we are more blessed if we stay put and do what we're supposed to do. They want us to give in to their sodomite way of life. Their law that they are, that they say is law, that is after they have decided to crash our administration of kingship. It's written, that's what they have done, putting a lot of effort to destroy the administration of kingship. But listen, they cannot destroy kingship. They'll never be able to do that. And finally, the circumstance lies with the gods who set up civilization on earth, and what they are using to destroy everything is the tangible part establishment of kingship. These people didn't know what law or nothing means. These people didn't wear clothes until civilization came along by the gods. Okay? So they come in and all they do is follow us and begin to kill us. That's what these white people did, and make law that they can kill us with the law 1220 AD. That's the law they used to kill us and go all over the world and have triumph, and nobody cannot stop them, because, see, Africa is no longer a kingship government. So these guys take this control over the African ethnic people, and there's hardly any one of us who is able to say, oh, the sun is shining. You see what I mean? So, clearly, it only takes one person to hang strong with the gods who leave us here. All it takes is one person to sever cut with these sodomite white people them and their church and all what they're going on with. It only takes one to break the bond of evil. Okay? And whilst they are, you know, are putting their tail in their back and like, oh, it's only what they are doing matters. That's not true. That's not true. Because they are the easiest problem for the gods to solve. You know, because they have so many different ways, style of doing things. And these white people, simply because they are left alone to use any judgment they have, and we see what they do. It's killing us. That's it. Okay? So if you walk in the light as the gods are in the light, these folks will be broken and go to the dust, and they will not rise again. Okay? Because they go to the wrong way, they don't like the right way, and all they want now is their chance of controlling a people they have no right to claim power to rule. Okay? So the time is here, and the time is now that we wake up, because the time is going to come when you really need to wake up. All right. Are tragedy involved in the greatest sustained loss of human life in history. Something went wrong. 100,000 years ago. Something went wrong, and you read in the Bible about the fall of mankind, and we don't really know what those things are, because the Bible is never going to tell us. But it's talking about the talking serpent is really talking about the white people. It's something they have done to the African people. And when we were like, you know, ancestry that weren't able to like protect ourselves properly, something happened. Something happened. You see? And we are, you know, we, our mental capacity has fallen into deep retardation. That's why we don't have a king ruling now, and these guys, if you get to know what happened in 509 BC, you will know what began to happen from way back then, like about 2600 years ago. These white people push Africa aside and begin to take us over from way back then, when they took the military, remove the king, and take all of the secrets and get to know all the things they're not supposed to know. These white people, today, they are big military and going on, but it never happened before 509 BC. Search it up and see if you find any white people doing politics, before 509 BC. I don't see them nowhere at all. So they were preparing to strike. And that's the day they strike. And from thence, there was nobody to oppose them. And you have the big, big Africa with like about 54, you know, different country in Africa that could easily take control of the world, control, and nobody did it. Selassie was there, and he couldn't do nothing either. So, but who was ruling the world before? It's us. It's Africa. Because we are given the knowledge of rule, of to rule over the world society. And see what we have here? When you talk about the fall of man, yeah, the fall of man happened, and Africa no longer know. It's not like they know and they're doing something else. Africa don't even remember that there was a kingship government. And it is into the world history right now that we can tell. Until when these sodomite white people come to Africa, but more so in the United States. When they came into the United States, the kind of killing they do to us, and how they work hard to get rid of our kingship system. Yeah. And now all the kings, the number of kings that rule within our time, the record is there. The kingship, the kingship rule is still there. Nobody can't remove it. It is the root of civilization. So there's nothing that these white people can, there's what they call federal government, has nothing to do with our government, but because we were no longer administrating, they move right in and say they have government, but they don't have any government. Right now, if you were to get into any kind of a problem and they want to take you into a court of law, they wouldn't have any jurisdiction. If you have, if you take law, your own law that you are created under, these white fucking ass nonsense here, they don't have any jurisdiction at all. When they talk about they have a constitution, it's not based upon anything about Jesus and Latin and the year of our Lord. It's not based upon anything. Okay? And here it is. They are struggling for life. They don't have, number one, they are depending upon our blood while they are here because their species dead out and gone long time. They are living off our blood, these white people. But they are basing their existence on the fact that we don't know. We don't know them. Because we don't, before we were able to read and know anything, they already damaged our brain, so we don't have anything going for us. Well, it is written and shown that we would revive from one till maybe a few more, will survive this. We will come to know. Now, why now, some things that I'm talking, people are going to like say, you know, what is he talking about? Because they don't know. They don't read, you know. And however, we are going to, we are reviving. And look at the things that they did. And they're there now. If you were to like start telling them the things they do, they have to run away from you. You see, they don't have any government. It's for us to understand this right now. Our people that they lock up and put away, you know, in prison and give them a whole bunch of time in jail and stuff like that, it's about time we let them know, let these people out of their prison. Because they have no jurisdiction to put anybody in any kind of a legal problem. No. No. They, you know, you can say, well, they keep some kind of a peace or something. They bring all kind of iniquity here. It's the reason why, I mean, before they came here, none of those things were, those problems were not here, right? So it's time for us to, like, just drive them out, put our people out to be free. You see, and let our own people begin to run our civilization. We don't want them here. These are, they're talking about America is theirs. They don't, America is none of theirs. You ask them, you know, what bring them here, where they come from, they'll not be able to, they're not able to tell you that. You see, so if you can't stand up and represent the legal power of kingship government that to us, we were born under kingship. We exist by kingship. The calendar that has been set up, and they come and shove aside our calendar. That is not something that is to allow. If they want to worship their homosexual priest or pope, it's their business. But we don't want, no, we don't want them on our territory. That's all there is to it. And I'm telling you, telling everybody, don't go back to their church. Don't go back to the church because there's their church nothing less than uncivilized institution. And they at a time when they bring it in and nobody was opposing them, look at the Bible that they wrote and the things that they write in there. I mean, if we were not sick, that wouldn't happen. But it happened. And here we are faced with it, right? It's to clean it up. But we can't clean it up unless we know and we are able to articulate our position. We don't want them here. Because what did they do to come here? They just come. And, you know, whatever our people were thinking. But they were under and exercising, doing things officially, legally, under kingship. All right? And I can just read a little portion of that to you right here. Where we have a long PDF document here that is loaded with report on what these sodomite people have been doing to us. They could not be a government and write, call tribunal and write and write legislation to kill us indigenous people, force us to accept the church, the Jesus Christ, and they base everything on us. They want us to accept Jesus Christ that don't exist, and they say Jesus Christ come from us. Now, they are like licking us, I mean, in all kinds of way, and because our brain is gone bad, we them suck us in, right? When we understand, we don't go by that no more. We kick them out because they don't have anything to defend themselves, nothing at all. When you know what to say, what to show them, what to point them to, okay, they are sodomites. We go after Lot in Genesis 19. You don't make fun with these kind of folk. They are not people that represent the African all. But they know we have lost our senses, and that's why they're taking all these chances with us. Now we're catching their hand in the cookie jar, and we are telling them, get out. Because there is something behind us saying, get out. There is something behind that. It's not that we're going to take any military and come after them. That's not the way it's going to work. But they have a chance to go their way and go take care of themselves. Get out of our territory. But they think, say, oh, no, you know, it's theirs now and all that. No, they're, you know, look here. These are sodomites. They don't really have civilized sense. They do not. We can't play off what they are doing or what they are saying. We just need to tell them they need to get out of our way. You don't have no business here in the first place. That's all there is to it. So, because all they do is come here and kill. So what argument do they have to say anything about this is theirs, that so they come here and do stuff? Kill people? And they didn't have anything to begin with? All right. So now you have proper recording here on the internet, counting the dead. And you can find this if you pay attention to what I'm telling you. This is the title, Counting the Dead, : Estimating the Loss of Life in the Indigenous Holocaust, 1492-present, not present, but present, right? Present. And it goes on to tell you, David Michael Smith, University of Houston, downtown. And it began to tell you this story, a whole bunch of story of 1492 and what these, what they call Europeans, came in, begin to come into our territory, right? And this is the time of where they come into America, right? And this, it is very important that people get to know this document and what has been said. I mean, it moves me beyond like the mere cognizance that these things happen, because it doesn't sound like something that could happen when folks come and invade other folks and kill you and take away what you have and make it their own habitation. It don't, I mean, I born and raised up in Jamaica. I don't know these things to be reality. But it's the way it happened, and nobody is even talking about it, man. You know, so I know our brain has gone. And coming back to understanding, it's a process. Well, I go through that process. What I'm saying is for real. They don't have anything that's real to make them stay in our way. They came here and got into our way. So when they're talking about it's their country and what they want, a new country, these guys are sodomites. What do you else do? What they want to do with what's his name? Lot in Genesis 19. Have you ever read that? Now, does that impress you like that is something that is normal for people to do? No. So these are sodomites. So what are they setting up and talk about? They have a White House and all these kind of stuff. What are they doing all of that for? Showing off? Right. Sodomites. Okay? You see how they approach Lot? You read that in Genesis 19? The way they approach Lot? What did Lot do to them? Nothing. Nothing whatsoever. So it is today. They come in here. There's a lot of things that we have to know about these white people. You know, and you look at that woman, Liz Cheney, who you would think that, oh, she would understand better if she read history and know where she's at in America. Now, where she get the idea from that America is their country? And the government that they have in the world is a textbook. These people are not civilized anywhere at all. You can't find them as civilized people in the world. It's a textbook. So where are they going with their thing? They trust that we don't understand anything. But they're going to find out soon or later that they will have to knock their track and go back where they come from. Because we don't want them in any of our territory. You know, see, they don't think so. But it's not what they think, it's what we think. Is what our creators think. All right. So I want to tell you a little of what they did to our way of life. It's so horrible. And you don't hear nobody talk about it. None of our own people out there today don't come up and like cite them and say, this is what you did to us. Why are you standing in a way? No. They go along, right along with them and talk white people sodomite politics. That's all you hear out here. Okay? But here is what we have to tell these people to get out. In addition to the deadly impact of disease, wars, and genocide, Thornton has emphasized that many indigenous nations in what is today the United States were removed. Relocated, dispersed, concentrated, or forced to migrate, least once after contact with Europeans or Americans. And he has observed that the forced removal of over 100
1,000 indigenous people are indigenous people and areas west of Mississippi River during the first half of the 19th century directly resulted in significant loss of life. Moreover, such removals and relocations destroyed indigenous people's way of life, which resulted in substantial additional loss of life. Other devastating results on these ways of life, including the Spanish mission in California, Florida, and Texas. The U.S. government's attempt to make Plains Indians into cattle ranchers and Southern Indians into American farmers' efforts by their churches and governments to undermine Indian religious, governmental, and kingship system. See, I tell you about our government and see what is happening right here. All right. The often deliberate destructions, flora and fauna that African Indians use for food and other purposes. The near extinction of the buffalo. Widespread starvation, malnutrition, the deleterious effect of forced labor, alcoholism, demoralization and despair, declined fertility and other factors also contributed to the indigenous Holocaust. No, my friends, I want you to just get you to realize what is going on and that these white people are taking us for granted, right? A lot, they are taking us for granted that we are lost, we don't know who we are and stuff like that. And that's why they are doing the kind of stuff that they are doing. However, it's for us to wake up and come to the realization. We are not back there where they do whatever they want to do with us. And now they don't care nothing about us today, right now. They don't care. No, but the point is, we don't have to pay them any attention. We need to pay ourselves attention. You see what I mean? Because when they are thinking that they are safe here, they are not. They are thieves and criminals and they are honest fucking people. That's who they are. They want to make it seem like because they dress up and look and be carried away, they are, they are civilized and better off than us. Let's tell it to them like it really is. Okay? If they think they have anything, AD Anadamani is not a government. It is not no power, legitimate power. These fucking ass better get it right.
You look at them and think they have any sense. Look at Donald Trump. And he's a prime example, an ex-president and stuff like that. Look at him. Look at on all of their colleagues, white people. A pure stealing and killing and all kind of very, very, very hilarious, evil acts these folks love to do. And when they don't look upon us like, you know, they need to respect us and to understand that, look, we are the ones who they come and try to usurp, right? And if we decide we don't go in for it, find your asshole where you come from. Go back where you come from, right? Because then we have creators. Once we decide that something is wrong, we're going to make it right. We're not coming back to them for anything. We're going to call upon our creator, and we're going to get a load of knowledge, wisdom, understanding how to take care of ourselves. You see what I mean? And they are accustomed to something different from us. And the power of the gods will guide us. And if they think they're going to be here on top of their country, they're still lost. They don't know where they are. They come here to kill us and take over everything. And they think it would work well forevermore. It's not true. Just not true. And therefore, I want you to tell you this. But it's going to sound a lot like what I have just read to you a while ago. All right. But it goes like this. Horror, tragedy involving the greatest sustained loss of human life in history. It's about what they have done to us. It goes on to say, the dearth of sustained information on indigenous birth, death and mortality for much of the 20th century makes it impossible to precisely estimate the total number of excess deaths, but an estimate of about 200,000 total indigenous deaths contributed to the legacy of the colonialism and institutionalized racism since 1900 may be conservative. In sum, for the entire present day United States from 1492 to the present, total number of the indigenous deaths includes the 12 million estimated by Thornton. The additional approximately 790,000 deaths occurred in Hawaii, Alaska, and Puerto Rico, and about 200,000 excess deaths since 1900. Thus, the indigenous Holocaust in the country appears to have taken around 13 billion lives. Significantly, this horrific number was only a very small portion of the mind-numbing Holocaust. You hear that? Throughout the Western Hemisphere, when Thornton's estimated hemispheric population decline of 70 million is multiplied by 2.5. The total number of indigenous deaths throughout the Western Hemisphere between 1492 and 1900 appears to be about 170 million. You hear that? Now, does this sound like anything, any semi-normative? That we are here in this state, we don't have anybody, any legal force to help us. Beside these same, primates, apes. These are what we're talking about. And what place did we go to? A place that we were guided, the Western world. Not them. They are Europe. And settling Europe 1.5 million years ago. We don't know anything about these people. And whatever happened is by coincidence where they with our people. And from since then, it's pure hell on earth. Okay? So that they gonna come later on, way, way, way after we come into the West. They come here and now they are talking, all kind of things happen to them since what they did in 100,000 years ago. What they did caused them to start having talking babies, and then from that, right on down to where we are here, these people turn talking people and everything like that, and that's what they call in the Bible talking serpent. It's them. It's what ever sexual act they did with our people caused the world to full of pagan of flies and diseases. Since then, why they come here and kill us like this? Can't you see? They couldn't do that before they met our people. They weren't doing anything like that. That they weren't killing themselves and all them kind of thing. No, but since whatever they did, this is what catapulted them to this. Imagine 200,000 indigenous people who have died in the hemisphere because of war, oppression, racism, and harsh conditions, hard conditions of life since 1900. Surely runs into the millions. 0.68. By any reckoning, the indigenous Holocaust in the Western Hemisphere was as Stannard has pointed out, the worst human holocaust. We no kill nobody. These people come down and killing us. And you don't hear nobody today raise any hell comparable. No. Not at all. It don't sound like it is human being they were killing. And where do they come from? Thousands of miles away. How did they know that we are in the West? It's because of what happened and civilization light come on them and they begin to understand things like well as we do. You see what I mean? No words or numbers can adequately convey the scale of the horror and tragedy involved in the great sustained loss of human life in history. Still, it seems to this researcher that understanding the scope and dimension of the indigenous holocaust is an important first step towards collective political action which addresses the need, interest, and aspirations of indigenous people today, and which ensures that such a holocaust will never happen again. Feel that no words or numbers can adequately convey the scale of the horror and tragedy involved in the greatest sustained loss of human life in history. In the millions. Why these people decide to come here and kill us in this kind of a fashion? What did they plan? Well, we should be able to perceive what their planning was. They are fucking ass idiots. We don't need to think a lot to envision when they say what they want to do, why they were coming to our places. We don't need to like think hard to know they were about. It's not what they were telling why they are taking their journey. They figured that out long before they set road to come out here. And once they are on the spot, they get to work. And we turn fool long time. We don't know what they have to talk about. So they just get to like do whatever and kill us at this rate. And we do nothing. So they find out they can kill us like we are pigs. You see what I mean? We have no defense at all. And it is because of what happened 1.5 million years ago when we are leaving Africa, come to the Western world. Now, so it is telling us. This is telling us. It seems to this researcher that understanding the scope and dimension of the indigenous holocaust is an important first step towards collective political action with which address the need, interest, and aspiration of indigenous people today, and which ensures that such a Holocaust will never happen again. Yeah, and we just about seem like we can avert that today, it appears, but my friends, too far behind. Because just to save our life alone is not good. That is not good. Not as long as we have been created and put to be useful people. We can't just believe, allow these sodomites to come here and do the kind of stuff they do. And the picture is today is like they own everywhere that we come in the Western world. No. If we wake up, it's a whole lot of different ball of wax. Because right now, they better know that they are not sure of their existence. From now onward, they better know that they're not sure. And we don't have no army out there. They have the army. But they better know that they are not sure, and we are telling them to get out. Get out. Not saying please either. Get out. Because you need to get out. Okay? Because you never own anything. You still don't own anything. You're a damn idiot, fool, faggot that goes about and wants lots to visitors to give them their asshole. That's what you are. That's what Huno are made of. These things, I'm reading them and stuff like that. Oh, they don't think up nothing of it. You fucking ass stinking shit. Get out.
Never used to be so. I visited North Italy. And never felt more welcome. I mean, Italian boys took me home to meet their mothers when I date them. Something that something that American boys had not often done, but I think the refugee crisis in Europe has caused problem. I live in Germany now, and I feel it here too. understand. Of mind. We don't. We don't. We don't know. We don't know all of us are put into untenable state of mind. Not knowing exactly I'm not. We don't know the common. T-H-R-E-T. Hmm. threat, T-H-R-E-T. Common danger. We don't know the common danger threatens. So, T-H-I-N-K. So think that